Good morning, Rav Osai. As always, welcome everyone to our Sunday morning shiur. The topic today is a continuation of the shiur that we had last Sunday, which is the impact of the halachas of kashrus on medications, modern-day medications, which is a very broad topic. I tried to do as much research as I was able to, and I hope I could present it accurately. I would like to begin by reviewing what we said last week for those who weren't here, just to sort of set the stage for to get a total clarity. The basic issue, obviously, in the modern world is that there are medications that are made that have non-kosher ingredients. And the question presents itself, does a person have to check it through? Nowadays the kashrus organizations are beginning to get more and more involved with certain over-the-counter medications, but is a person obligated really to check through if you go to Walgreens or CVS or one of these places to check through and look through the ingredients? So basically what we said was, essentially from a conceptual standpoint, anything that you swallow would be theoretically considered that you're eating it. However, we said there are two heterim that are out there, two possible avenues that a person could try to go down those directions to try to come up with a heter. The first and the easiest one, if it was applicable, would be to say that the medicine is not edible. If the medicine is not edible, so something which is nifsad, something which is considered inedible for a human being, is not usher to eat, even if it's treif, even if it has non-kosher ingredients, it would not matter because of the fact that it's not edible. Something which is nifsad, a person is allowed to eat. So we discussed last week that there is a question with this that comes up. First of all, which things does that apply to? So I don't want to go back through it, but you may recall we also discussed the issue of achshave, that if a person swallows something and eats something, then he's giving it a certain value by the fact that he's eating it, which would be a question that even if you say it's inedible, but generally in the laws of Pesach we find the halacha that if something is deemed to be inedible but a person eats it, it's still prohibited on Pesach. So we said last week that it's different here because medicine is not the type of thing that when you swallow it you're giving any sort of value to the food component, but rather you're doing it because you want to get better. So therefore, logically, the concept of achshavei does not apply, even though one of the great achronim, Shagas Aryeh, says, it's quoted in the Pisrei Tshuva, the Shagas Aryeh says that it would apply. However, Moshe Feinstein and many others, contemporary poskim, disagreed with that and said that it does not apply. And thus, if something was deemed to be completely inedible, there would be no question that a person could take it, even for a minor discomfort, even if it was for a headache. Just to review, last week we said that in the laws of Shabbos we find there are three categories of sick people. There are people who are considered cholim sheyesh bo sakana, people whose lives are in danger. They have serious illnesses that they have to, even if their life is not in danger at that very moment, but they're taking medicine for a life-threatening disease or condition. So there you have basically, you don't really have to ask any questions. In a situation like that, a person is allowed to pretty much take anything. We pointed out last week that if you had the choice between something which was known to be kosher and something which was known to be not kosher, and you had the total choice, it would still be better to opt for the kosher one because of the principle that we saw last week, machil noso hakal hakal tchila, that a person who is ill, you try to not violate laws that don't need to be violated, but that's only the chatchila. That's only if you're able to. So generally speaking, if a person is seriously ill, they could take anything. Okay, the second category we said last week is a person who's called a chol she'ein bo sakana, meaning that the person is deemed to be ill, but the person's life is not in jeopardy. Common examples of that would be a person with the flu, a person with a migraine headache, where it's a serious thing, the person is bedridden as a result of their condition, but nevertheless, their life is not in jeopardy. So there we said, there are also, we'll get to it, there are certain exceptions for that person, but it's not quite the same as a chol sheyesh bo sakana. And the third category we identified was what's called a mechush, a situation where a person is just uncomfortable, whether it's because of a headache or a person with common cold, things like that, sore, things like that. That is, the person in that situation is not sick. They're not sick. They can still function. They don't have to go lie down. Generally speaking, don't have to go lie down. They're okay. And there you have arguably the least amount of leeway. Okay, and then we have to get to the situation of a bari, of a healthy person who wants to take a vitamin, where the person is healthy and not sick at all. Okay, so there you have the three categories of sick people, the four categories of people overall. So again, if you have a medicine which is inedible, if it's inedible, anybody could take it. Anybody could take it because of the fact that it could be that it was made from pig fat, but if it's considered inedible, it's mutter outright. Now, the question is, what medicines does that apply to? So, there is a sort of a dispute that is ongoing between various kashrus agencies in this country. But what seems to be the prevailing opinion, which from what I've seen and I think from the common practice, is the lenient opinion which is espoused by the CRC, the Chicago Rabbinical Council, which has emerged as one of the leading kashrus organizations in America. They say, and their poskim have signed on it, that any pill or tablet that is unflavored is considered inedible. It's considered inedible. And therefore, you may have seen it that they put out before Pesach a statement saying that even for Pesach, even a person whose life is not in danger can take an uncoated, unflavored pill or a tablet because of the fact that they deem it to be inedible. Okay, another, why is it inedible? So others say if you examine the ingredients, you'll see that there are things in there. They put starch in there. They put certain things in there. But they claim, this is what they claim. Not everybody agrees, but this is what they claim. And it seems to be the prevailing opinion. I did come across this week an interesting thing. And one of the kashrus agencies reported that Advil happens to have non-kosher ingredients in it. But nevertheless, everybody takes it. You never see anybody who doesn't take Advil. I'm not sure if it was Advil or Tom. I think it was Advil. But so again, what is it? I don't remember what it was. I came across it. But the person who was making this point was saying that you see that despite that, everybody eats it. Everybody takes it. So that means that it seems to be the consensus opinion that a pill or a tablet is considered inedible. That is if it's, because of the fact that it's bitter tasting or it has just a lousy, whatever it is, it doesn't have much of a taste. And the minhag is that at least for people who are ill, even with a mechush, even with a headache or a cold, people are lenient and take those things. Yeah.
Can I recap? Barasakana, anything goes?
Barasakana, anything goes.
Anything goes.
Except for the three cardinal sins, right?
Even on Yom Kippur.
Sakana, everything.
Sure.
Right. So, and in a sakana, generally speaking, if there is no time, if you don't have time to play around, you don't even go ask anybody. Just do what you need to do. It's not a time to start asking questions. Like we said last week, sometimes by the time you get the answer, the person, something terrible may have happened. So therefore, you don't play around with something like that.
Go, I told you ate a steak of horse meat.
Yeah. So there was, if he knows what he's talking about, if he doesn't know what he's saying, in other words, you have to know if he's reputable. If a doctor tells you that you have to eat horse meat, or a person, if you don't eat horse meat, you're going to die, so you should eat the horse meat. Of course you should eat. There's no question about it, right? That there's no question. Okay? So anyway, that is, that would apply to things which are inedible. Now, we said last week, and I reiterate this, that not everyone, it's not universally agreed upon that, what the standard definition is of what's inedible. It's not universally agreed upon. And therefore, in a lot of cases, so by a person who is in a sakana, there's no question. Okay, but what about other people? So, just to complete our view from last week, we discussed, the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, and it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch Yeridea, that a person who is ill, even if it's not life-threatening illness, is allowed to eat food in what's called Shelo Kederech HaNa'asan. Shelo Kederech HaNa'asan means that it's not the normal way that it's eaten. It's not the normal way that it's eaten. And therefore, that would extend certainly to a person who is ill even without it being life-threatening. So for example, a person with the flu, life is not in danger, but the person is ill, so that person is allowed to ingest something which is not kosher if it's done in an unusual manner. What's considered an unusual manner? So clearly, if you mix in bitter-tasting things to this item, that would be considered an unusual manner. Okay, so therefore, let's say a pill, even if you held that pills are considered edible, but clearly it's not the normal derech, nobody goes to a restaurant and orders a main course of pills, right? Because of the fact that they don't taste good no matter what you say, right? So therefore, that would at least be shelo kederech hana'aso. And if it's shelo kederech hana'aso, so a person who is any sort of chol is allowed to take that. Okay, a person. So we mentioned last week, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach held that swallowing a pill without chewing it is considered unusual because that's not the normal way food is eaten. Food typically is chewed and then swallowed, and thus to swallow something without chewing it would be unusual, deviant way of eating it, and that would also be mutter. But here you would have a heter even for a person whose life is not in danger if they had something that could be swallowed, a pill or some solid item that can be swallowed without chewing it. Thus, it comes out that if was very common today with over-the-counter medications where they make a lot of things with gel caps, okay, with gelatin. Now, gelatin, as we mentioned last week, even though originally there was a big dispute about it, and there were those who claimed that it was not considered unkosher, but the prevailing opinion is of the Gedolim, the previous generation, is that gelatin is held to be not kosher. That being the case, so can you take a gel cap item? So the answer is, a person who's a chol sheyesh bo sakana, of course, there's no question, and even a person who's a chol sheein bo sakana could also take it if he swallows it without chewing it. If he swallows it without chewing it, which is typically what happens with these types of things, so that would be considered shelo kederech hana'aso. That's not the normal way to eat food. So therefore, even though there are non-kosher ingredients in these items, but nevertheless, you're eating it in an unconventional way. So a person who had the flu and went to the store and they had whatever it was, some sort of over-the-counter type of thing, that was with a gel cap. So you could take that also. Now preferably, if you could just as easily take a tablet, it's better to take a tablet because of the fact that, like we said previously, it's always better if you don't have to get into the isser, stay away from it. If you could stay away without coming on to any heterim, it's better to do that. So if you had the choice to take a tablet or take a gel cap, it's better to take the tablet. But if a person couldn't take a tablet, or let's say it was late at night and the only thing you happen to have available to you is a gel cap, so you could take it. You could take it because of the fact that it's considered shelo kederech hana'aso. However, as we ended off last week, that is only applicable to a person who's ill. But what about a person who has a headache? So a person has a headache, or a person has a common cold, so that person is a question in halacha, how you view that. What do you consider such a person, and would that person have the heter of being able to also take these items shelo kedarcha?
Yeah.
I hope to get to that at the end. Yeah.
There is gelatin, but there are many pills that are made with something called stearic acid.
Yes.
Stearic acid is from an animal, unless you notice many of the products you can buy over the counter will say vegetables.
Vegetables, okay. So I'm aware of that. From what I saw, the research that I did, they also don't always know. Right. The stearic acid has sometimes mentioned as vegetable. Obviously, if it's from a vegetable, it's mutter. If it's not, so then the simple idea would be that you have an issue. However, it's possible that it's butthole. You see, there's another possibility that the amount that's in the pill is less than 1/60th. In other words, if it's less than 1.6% of the, if you do the math, you'll see that if it's less than 1.6% of the ingredients, so then it would be batel b'shishim. So if that's the case, then it could also be mutter. The problem, I just want to say in connection with that, the problem with a lot of these things is that there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of unknowns. Not always can you tell, and even people who check it out with the companies find that you don't know, it's not always clear 100%. They don't, you know, sometimes they don't know themselves exactly to the degree that a person observing the laws of kashrus would need to know with the exact precision. So there is a certain element of suffix that's involved in these cases. That is true. But the question remains, what about a person who is not, who is considered a minor discomfort, a person who is a chol shein bo sak, who is a mechush, a person who is just uncomfortable, like a headache, cold, soreness, would that allow a person this heter of shelo kederach hanaso? So if you look here in the sheet, there is a remarkable, comment of the Shach that's found here in Yeridea Simen Kufnun Hay, which is something very very difficult to understand what the Shach meant, but nevertheless it's in the books. So the question is, how does it apply to us? But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch Kufnun Hay Siv Gimel, so the Shulchan Aruch says Bishari Surim, when it comes to other prohibitions, the topic here, the Shulchan Aruch, the immediate topic was Avodah Zarah. If a person could derive benefit from something which was designated for Avodah Zarah, which presents a special problem because by Avodah Zarah you don't have the heter of Sakana. So anyway, that was the discussion at the outset. Now the Shulchan Aruch turns its attention to other things. Shari Surim, by other types of prohibitions, Misrapim B'makam Sakana. The Shulchan Aruch says that you are allowed to take a refuah in a case of sakana afilu derech hanaso. If it's a sakana, so then you could do it even in the normal way. V'shelo b'makom sakana, however, if it's not a sakana, so then kederech hanaso aser. Then if it's in the normal manner, it would be prohibited. However, shelo kederech hanaso muter, if it's not in the normal manner, then it would be permissible. This is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that a person who is ill but not in sakana, so you can derive benefit for, in a situation, even from things that is prohibited to derive benefit from, in a situation where it's shelo kederech hanaaso. Okay? Now, comes along, if you look at the Shach, the commentary on the left-hand side, there's an arrow on the sheet. The Shach Yud Gimel says the following remarkable thing. The Shach says that shelo kederech hanaaso l'tzarech refuah, that for the purpose of refuah, a person can derive benefit if it's not the conventional benefit. Av shelo l'tzarech refuah, afil shelo kederech hanaaso, if it would not be for the purpose of refuah, then you can't derive benefit. In other words, for your own enjoyment, you stam can't derive benefit. Okay, fine. And then he says, pashut hu. And then he says, v'hainu b'yisurei hanaa, that this stringency is only by Yisurei Hanah. Avo bi Yisurei Achila, but by things which are prohibited to eat, and they're not prohibited to derive benefit from, such as non-kosher food. Right? Now, the only non-kosher food that a person not allowed to derive benefit from is basar v'cholov, right? Milk and meat that were made together, and chametz on Pesach. Right, every other non-kosher food you're allowed to derive benefit from. A person can derive benefit from pigs, just can't eat it. Okay, when it comes to Yisurei Achila, says the Shach, then it is permissible for a person to derive a benefit, since it's not prohibited in benefit, it's only prohibited in eating, if it's not the normal manner, then a person is allowed to benefit from it. And what about eating it? So if you turn over the page to page 3 in the Chochmas Adam, one of the great modern, relatively svarim that were written after the Shulchan Aruch, so the Chochmas Adam, which was written by the same author as the Chai Adam of Avram Danziger, so he said over the halachas in a very clear and concise manner. And then he wrote a commentary, a more in-depth commentary on the bottom, on the footnotes on his sefer, which is called Binas Adam. So if you look here in Nun Beis, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but he quotes this Shach, and he's discussing whether it's permissible for a healthy person to eat something which is prohibited in an unusual manner. Okay, so he says, the Shach writes that it's mutter. In other words, his understanding of the Shach was that the Shach is saying that if you have a food item which is prohibited to eat, but you eat it in an unusual way, then it's mutter. That's what he says. Okay, now how would that help us? So that would help us because then a person with a headache could take a non-kosher pill because of the fact that swallowing a pill whole is deemed by Rav Auerbach to be unconventional. That's not considered the normal way to eat something. And therefore, that would give us the heter even for a person who essentially is not sick. The person is just in a state of discomfort. So the Binas Adam interprets the Shach to be saying that this would be permissible even for a healthy person. But then he says himself, he says the reason why this would be permitted, this is what the Shach seems to be saying. So then he says, well, Zechisi Lehavin, he says, I have not merited to understand what he's saying. I can't understand what he's saying. And he goes through and gives a reason why he does not see that this is possible. But nevertheless, he does not dispute that the Shach meant this. And then he quotes an opinion that says, also, there's an opinion of Tosfos that's found in the Gemara in Psachim, that also something that is shalok, that food, shalok derech hana'aso, food in an unusual way, there is no prohibition. So even though it's questionable whether we paskin that way, but the Chochmas Adam seems to say that he seems to admit that the Shach holds that it's mutter, but he himself disagrees. So thus, we have a machlokas in the poskim. We have a dispute here. You have the Shach on the revered opinion who, in general, who seems to indicate that it's mutter, whereas the Chochmas Adam seems to say that it's usr. Okay, so now, this would apply in a situation where you have a person who has a headache, as I say, or a common cold, and wants to take a gel cap. Okay, so I'm going to swallow a gel cap whole. So am I allowed to do that? It's not kosher what I'm swallowing. However, I'm eating it, I'm ingesting it in an unusual manner. So if you ask the Shach, he would say that it's okay. If you ask the Chochmas Adam, he would tell you that it's not so simple. So, as I say, this is where you get into the troubling area. Now, like I say again at the outset, when it comes to a pill, a straight pill, which is, you know, with not the gel cap, so there's a lot of reasons to say that that's okay, and as I say, the CRC opinion is that all pills are considered inedible, outright, so you don't even have to come on to this. That pills that are not chewable are considered inedible, you don't have to come on to it, so therefore they would say that when it comes to, even if you have a headache, if you want to go, you don't have to find out if Tylenol is kosher, you don't have to find out if Advil is kosher, a person having a muscle pain or whatever it is doesn't have to find out because if they're taking a pill, because the pills they consider shaloka, they consider inedible, a nifsat, they consider it nifsat. Not everyone agrees with that, but that seems to be the prevailing opinion. I think if you ask most Rabbanim, that's what they will tell you. Now, again, if the kashrus industry works its way up to the point that they start giving hechsherim to over-the-counter medications, which they are beginning to do that, so then it might change, because if you find out that something is for sure kosher and something else isn't, so then it's better always to take the kosher thing than the non-kosher thing. But when it comes to a gel cap, which is already not the same thing, because that's debatable highly whether that's considered inedible. Okay, a pill, a bitter pill, is inedible. It's a powder. Is in a lot of people, you can make the argument it's inedible, but a gel cap you cannot make that argument for. So here it gets sticky, because you'll say, well, the Shach says it's mutter, but the Chochmas Adam says that it's usr. So it's hard to know. So it's hard to know in situations like that. Now, there is also the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who says, although he doesn't have a firm opinion, he says in the Shuvah Simchas Shlomo, that he's not convinced that the laws of refuah are the same as the laws of Shabbos, meaning that he said it's possible that a person who's in pain could be considered, when it comes to the laws of refuah, a chola. That the person could, in other words, when it comes to Shabbos, we said last week that a person who's only in pain is considered a lesser category. But that's as far as the laws of Shabbos are concerned. But it could be that when it comes to the laws of refuah, we're more lenient. So there are a lot of questions swirling around this type of thing. So therefore, it comes down to it. The way it comes out, I believe, is that if a person had just a headache or soreness, it's better to avoid it. It's better to avoid it because it's not so clear. If it can, you know, if you could take a regular tablet or a pill, something like that, it's definitely better. However, if there was a situation where a person couldn't get it, it's hard to know. I'm not comfortable saying an opinion. I think the person should ask their Rav this question. Who they go by. There's a host of opinions that are out there. There are people that are lenient when it comes to these things for the reasons that I gave. If it came down to it, you could rely on the shach. If it was late at night, you couldn't get something else. The little mice of the shach said it's mutter. So you could go by that, and you could add in that who says that we go, that a person who has a headache is considered not a chola. That's also, like we say, Rav Shlomo Zalman, not sure about that. So there's an area of where it's unclear. Yes, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. The person behind you is waiting the longest. Yeah, go ahead.
You're saying that a shach is saying someone who's already healthy and wants to take
it. It seems like the shach is saying it even for a healthy person.
So if you want to take,
a vitamin. Right, so I'll get to that. So vitamins are the biggest problem because vitamins are generally taken by people who are healthy. Okay, so a person who's healthy, then what are you going to rely on? Now, there's all the coolest, all the leniencies apply to a person who's sick, but a person who's taking a vitamin. Now, if the person is taking the vitamin because they're not in such good health and they need a boost, so then you could argue that the person is a chola. But if a person is totally healthy and just wants to take vitamins, this is already a big question. This is because you lose all the leniencies in halacha are lost when you're dealing with a healthy person. Because now, what do you need this for? Right? We know that when it comes to an issa d'rabbanan, so the rabbis were lenient when it comes to illnesses and so forth. But if you're dealing with a person who's healthy, there's no, you know, that presents a problem, which I'm going to get to. Yeah.
One thing that bothers me so much, you know, Hakamim,
yeah.
They know very well that the gelatin, it's made from bones, yes?
Yes.
Bones, actually, they're made of nitzah. It's not good for achilat kelev.
So that's a big question. Okay, there were a lot of, this was a debate in the previous generation that was debated by the biggest gedolim in the world in Pesach at that time. There were people who were lenient, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Eretz Yisrael, but to the best of my knowledge, Rav Moshe Feinstein and other people were not lenient. They did not agree. That's what they said. There was, if anyone wants to see in the most recent edition, if you have access to this, the Kashrus Currents, which are put out by the Star K in Baltimore, they have on the front page an article in the current issue on gelatin. Okay, so you could read that and see, but the prevailing accepted opinion by the leading poskim in America is that it's not good enough. That's what they say. I'm not saying nobody ever said it's mutter. I'm aware of that. I'm just saying the consensus opinion of the poskim is very, with kashrus, it's very hard to know. It's very hard to anyone to have an opinion unless you see what goes on. Because people don't walk into plants and don't see how things are manufactured. So, you know, anything makes sense. But if you would see it, it could be that you would say, he's right, very hard to justify. I don't know. I have no opinion. I just know what's said. This is a common, all the leading kashrus agencies in America go with the attitude that the gelatin is no good. That they all, the OU, the Star K, Chav K, OK, what do you call it, the CRC, all go with that attitude. Okay, I never tested it out. I don't know what to say. I don't have an opinion. I don't think I would even know what gelatin was if I bumped into it. I'm just saying that this is what they say, so what could you do? Okay, now we come to yeah.
Don't you have to be leery of the doctor also? There are doctors I heard in the past.
Yeah.
I went to them.
Yeah.
Not medication. I
yeah.
said medication is one thing.
Yeah.
You.
There are doctors in our midst. You better watch what you say.
You
yeah.
have.
Yeah.
You have to eat ham, and ham has the nutrients in it.
If the generally speaking, if the doctor is reputable, you go by what he says. That's the, you don't ask any questions. If he's reputable, I think those types of stories I think are from a world that no longer exists. That may have been 50
years ago.
Yeah. Today, that doesn't happen anymore. It doesn't happen. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. 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 What? Okay, coding. So we'll get to this right now. So now, what about if something is coated? What about if something is chewable? What about if flavoring has been mixed in? Okay, which you have very commonly. In other words, let's say Benadryl. Okay. So Benadryl is something which is flavored, you know, they put cherry flavoring or whatever it is. Once again?
That's a liquid.
It's a liquid, yeah. Well, okay, a liquid. Now if you have a liquid, you have a bigger issue because the heter of Shalol Kederach Achila does not apply by a liquid. In other words, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that to swallow a pill without chewing it is considered an unnormal way of eating. And therefore, on that basis, you have the heter that if a person is chole, so he for sure could take it, even if he's not in mortal danger, even a person with the flu could take that, no questions asked, right? And we're seeing now that possibly even a person who's healthy. But that's only if it's unconventional way of eating. But if you take a syrup, so that's the way it's supposed to be. Nobody chews it, right? It's a liquid. So therefore, in that situation, you have less. All the heterim seem to be slipping away. So to say the two again to review the two big heterim that would possibly be out there would be either to say that it's inedible, or to say that even if it's edible, but you're eating it in a deviant way. Okay, but syrup, neither of those apply, it would seem, because I mean it's inedible. That's a debate, right? It could be it's edible. It doesn't taste so bad. It may even taste good. Right? On the other hand, and to say that it's unnatural, that you can't say, because that's the way syrup is consumed. So here, there is a great deal of discussion. But what seems to be there's an attitude that seems to be circulating in the world, which I did find on the CRC website. I wasn't able to get hold of someone to speak to them in person, but they do have it in print on their website. A heter based on the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Pesach. If you look here at page 2, we find a very fascinating halacha in the laws of Pesach. Okay, and that is, it says as follows. It says, the Shulchan Aruch says, Davar shenis arav bo chametz. If you have an item in which chametz was mixed in, ve'eino maicho adam klal, but it's not edible. Chametz was mixed in, but it's not edible. Or, says the Shulchan Aruch, she'eino maicho ko adam. Or if you have something which is not edible to all people, it's only edible to some people. Now what does that mean? So if you look underneath this two-word piece in the Mishnah Berurah, that the Mishnah Berurah says, what does it mean that it's not edible to all people? Rak l'cholim. That if you have something that is edible only to people who are ill, but a person who is healthy would not eat it, would consider it inedible. So then, Kigon, the Shulchan Aruch gives an example, hateriyaka. Right, not to be confused with what you find in the Chinese restaurants. Right, so teriyak, whatever ukiyotze bo. So the Shulchan Aruch says that type of thing a person is allowed to keep in his house on Pesach. However, you're not supposed to eat it on Pesach. And the reason for this is because of the principle that we mentioned earlier called achshavei, that when you eat something, even if it's officially inedible, but if you eat it, so you're showing that by you it is edible. Okay? But that's the halacha, that the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have chametz, which is either inedible outright, or it's inedible to people other than those who are ill, so then you're allowed to at least have it in your house on Pesach. So some point to this and say that take note that the Shulchan Aruch has lumped together two different items. something which is completely inedible and something which is only edible for a sick person. So on that basis, they want to make the claim that if you have flavored medicine, so a flavored medicine would fall into the second category. Because the fact of the matter is, they argue that a person who's healthy would never consider taking any of this stuff, right? You want to take Robitussin, Benadryl, any of these things. If you just as a drink, right? If someone came over to your house, you wouldn't say, here, have a cup of Benadryl, right? You would never say that because for several reasons. First of all, because it doesn't taste good, really, right? It's only, the flavoring they put in makes it that it's acceptable for a person who's sick. In other words, you won't blanch when you swallow it. It won't be uncomfortable to swallow it, but nobody would say, oh, that was so geschmack. Nobody would say that, right? And on top of that, nobody who's healthy would take it because it's not healthy for a healthy person to take it because medicine in it. So therefore, what, are you going to start drinking it? It would be harmful for a healthy person to take it. So on this basis, one could see this, I'm not making this up, on the CRC of Chicago website, they claim that their poskim, or at least one of their number one posek, says that that could be a room to be lenient when it comes to flavored medication, syrup medications. That, again, you'd really have to know from situation to situation, but most of them that I'm familiar with don't really taste good. The taste is acceptable. In other words, what the stuff they put in there just makes it that it's acceptable. That you won't be painful or annoying or uncomfortable for you to swallow it, but it doesn't taste good. And a lot of times it leaves a bad aftertaste in your mouth. So they claim that being the case, then that would be considered the same thing as something that's inedible. That's what they claim. Now, this point is also hotly disputed because of the fact that people say, well, you don't know what the Shulchan Aruch was talking about. The Shulchan Aruch was written 500-600 years ago, so who knows what they had. But today, with the pharmaceutical companies and all, you know, it's a big business, and they're always angling to capture more of the market, and therefore they'll do whatever they can to make it taste good. So if they, sometimes, you know, you have a kid's bubblegum flavored or who knows what, where the kid may actually enjoy eating it. So in that, if that's the case, so then who's to say that this is definitely the same thing? So here, this is up for dispute. I know that the Star K in Baltimore, Star K Kashrus, I spoke to one of their people this week, had a long conversation with one of their people who said that they don't really go by this. They don't, because they feel that it's too sweet. That what's put in today is considered very sweet, and it would be more than this teriyak or whatever it is that the Shulchan Aruch is referring to. Or so they claim. So they claim. Yes, Rav Anton.
I think that one of the things I know, one of these two on their mustards in the liquid medicine is glycerin.
Glycerin, right.
So
there you have it from someone who's in the field that there is glycerin. I just for the record will tell you, however, that this they all agree that glycerin comes from multiple sources. That glycerin could come from animals, but glycerin could also come from plants, and glycerin could be artificially made. And they all claim that even the company doesn't necessarily know, because since it's all the same as far as the role that it serves in the medication, it doesn't matter what the source of the glycerin is, that they will take whatever they have available. In other words, if they have this type available, they'll put that in. If they have the next type available, they'll put that in. They don't care, because it's all the same. To them, for what they're interested in, it's all the same. So therefore, it becomes a suffix because of the fact, see, that would be now a reason more towards the heter because of the fact that now I have a suffix, whether it's mutter or asur. And on top of that, without making this overly complicated, there is an opinion which is quoted in the Sefer Tzitz Eliezer of Waldenberg, who was one of the Gedolim, just passed away a couple of years ago, one of the Gedolim Yerushalayim, who said that if you have a chatzi shir, if you have an iser, which is only being consumed in very small amounts, and there is a suffix about it, so it can be viewed as a suffix derabbanan, and you could say suffix derabbanan lakula. So, therefore, it could be, when it comes to this, that there's room to be lenient. It could be. On the other hand, you know, and you know, in other words, the attitude that a lot of people have, if you speak to people when they go into the pharmacy to buy this over-the-counter stuff, is that you say, well, how do you buy it? You don't know this syrup. You don't know if it's kosher. So they'll say, yeah, but if I wasn't sick or I wasn't ill, I wouldn't drink this. So therefore, it's inedible. That's what is the CRC claims. That's what they claim. That's not called edible. Because it's only acceptable to you. It's acceptable because of the fact that you need to take it, and in order to make it not into a miserable experience, they threw something in that makes it that you could deal with it. But that doesn't mean that it's automatically, you know, considered food. So here, it's hard to get to the bottom of it. I will tell you something which I have not seen people do, but the Star K Kashrus claims that they checked it out, that this would not affect the medicine. They say that at most, from their research, the percentage of glycerin or any of these things in this type of medicine, or whatever you want to call it, the syrup is so small that it's big enough that it would not be batel b'shishim. However, they claim that if you took it together with 2 ounces of any liquid and mixed it together, what's that?
1 teaspoon,
thank you. 1 teaspoon together with 2 ounces of a liquid, then it would be batel b'shishim for sure. So that's what they claim that they checked it out, and all the companies told them would not lose the potency. If you did that, it would not affect the potency of the product. If you took, let's say, a Benadryl with 1 teaspoon of Benadryl with two ounces of water or soda or juice or anything, so that would remove the problem because it would make it batel. Now, those who are the Yerideh fans will ask, but what do you mean? Don't we have a principle that Ein Mevatel Nisul Chatchila? Don't we say that you can't go ahead and make something batel if it was not... Bittel happens by itself. You can't make something batel, right? You can't pour milk into your chant and then say, all right, I'll put in more meat, so now it'll be nullified. You can't do that, right? So the question is, why doesn't that apply here? So it's a very complicated answer. Why that's true, it's actually... interesting but complicated answer, and therefore they want to claim that would be acceptable. That's what they say. I don't know that people do that. So what do people rely upon? I think people rely upon the other thing, that, you know, well, it's not really edible. It's not edible. It's just put in there to make it that it won't be miserable. I have no opinion. I think that a person really has to. This is an evolving area of halacha, because years ago, because of the fact that we didn't have access to the information, companies didn't, you know, it was hard to know, maybe the information they needed to give over wasn't the same requirements as today. It was very, for many years, very hard to get to the bottom of this. So therefore, the prevailing attitude amongst religious Jews was, if you don't feel well, just take it and don't ask any questions. Okay, today it's evolving because of the fact that there is more access to information, and therefore it could be, if you could check it out, so then you have to know. So here again, a person should consult with their rav. There are people that are lenient. There are definitely people that are lenient with the glycerin, which is the biggest problem, most common problem in all these liquids. There is a possible window of heter, or at least to make it better, is the fact that there is a big suffix, because they all agree that nobody knows what the source of the glycerin is. And the companies are not obligated to say it, and the Star K claims, even they're the Machmirim, they say that they were in companies where the company itself did not know what they were using. Whether what they were using came from an animal or came from a plant, because they said it makes no difference to us. So we have a guy supplies us with glycerin, all the glycerins are the same, as far as what we need them to do. So therefore, we'll just take whatever they send. We don't ask any questions. So that makes it that it could be a question. It could be it's a suffix to Rabbanon, and therefore suffix to Rabbanon will cooler. That could be what people rely upon commonly. But in today's world, the point being that if there is a list that comes out of over-the-counter medications that are kosher, it's worthwhile to consult that list, because here you know, you don't have to play around. You know for sure it's good. In other areas, you're getting into questions. Yeah.
From the great thing, you can make explosives with it. It's kosher, no?
You could what?
Explosives.
You can make explosives. And therefore it's kosher. I think, I don't know, I've seen kosher foods that are pretty, chalk could be pretty explosive also. I don't know.
Yes. You get stearic
acid. Okay.
And if you know where it's coming from,
Okay. Right. So, see, that's the issue. The issue is that, see, the reason why most people are surprised to hear this is because for so many years nobody thought about it, but as I say, the world changed because information needs to be divulged much more than in the past, and it's accessible, and they're allowing the kashrus agencies in to see the kosher market is a very big market, and a lot of companies out there, even they're run by non-Jews or Christians or whoever it is, but they're interested in getting the Jewish market, so they're opening up their plans and saying, come see for yourself. More and more this is happening. There's more Echsherim today than in every day, every year, there's even hundreds and hundreds of more Echsherim. So that may make it that nowadays a person should research it a little better. Yeah.
Are we referring to when it's prepackaged already, or when you go to Walgreens and they ask you if they can flavor it?
If they ask you if you can flavor it, I think it's better just stay away from it. It's clearly better just stay away from it. If you can deal with it, we'll get to a child right now. If it's for an adult and you can handle it, so it's better to rough it, and if that, it's better even if you can avoid a syrup, but if it's gonna be, most syrups have flavoring in it. Whether even if, they'll add more, but very rarely do they give you something which tastes horrible to take. Those days are gone, right? They don't do that anymore. It used to be, they would give you things and you'd have to, do who knows what to get it down. It's very rare today, such a thing. Okay, now what about for a child? Okay, so do we have to go so machmir for a child? So for a child, if you recall one of the shiurim that we had earlier in the year, for a child, you have a possible leniency as follows. We know there's a halacha, we discussed this right after Sukkot. There's a halacha that a child, katan ochel nevelus, the Gemara says, brought in Shulchan Aruch, that if a child is eating something that's not kosher on his own, so only the father really has to say something. If you see a child, someone else's child eating, you don't have to say anything. He's a child below, the boy or girl below the age of mitzvahs, you don't have to say anything. As a parent, so there's an obligation of chinuch, so you have to say something. Okay. Now, what about, says the Shulchan Aruch, but what about to hand a child something which is prohibited? Right? So to hand a child something which is prohibited, you're not allowed to do. That, even if you're not the father. You cannot go with if you happen to get, you got in the mail, some of your companies testing out non-kosher candy, and you got it in the mail, you wouldn't eat it yourself, because it's not kosher, so you say, here, my child, even someone else's child, here kid, be the candy man in shul, you'll give out non-kosher candy, right? So here, have a non-kosher candy, right? So that you can't do. That you can't do, even if you're not the father. Because you're not allowed to hand the child an isser b'yadayim. However, you may recall that we discussed that is when it's an Isser d'oraisa. If it's an Isser d'rabbanan, so then there is a question whether or not that's true. There's a machlokas in the Rishonim, the Rambam and the Rajba. The Rambam takes the strict opinion that you cannot give a child even an Isser d'rabbanan. However, the Rajba holds that you could, that the law only applies to it, something that's prohibited by the Torah. So on that basis, there is room to be more lenient with a child, with a child with sweet tasting syrups. Very often a child cannot swallow a tablet, and therefore you have to give the child either something chewable which has been coated or something which is syrup, okay, a liquid type of thing. But here you can combine a lot of things. First of all, you could make what's called the halachic svek sveka. You could say that first of all, it happens to be that there are opinions that hold that you could give a child an Issur d'Rabbanan. Okay? And even though we hold not that way, we pass in like the strict opinion of the Rambam, but you have that. And plus, you have other sfeikas that are mixed in, who says it's not kosher in the first place, you don't know that for sure, and other factors that you could mix in that would make it you're dealing, in other words, you're only dealing with an Issur d'Rabbanan, generally speaking, because the amount that's not kosher is very minimal, and when you combine several factors, it would come out that it would only be an Issa d'Rabbanan. If you have a, this is what the Tzitz Eliezer says, that something which is a chatzi shir, which is, to begin with, it's a very small amount, and it's bottle barov, it at least the majority of it is kosher, which is the case with all these medicines. So he wants to say that in that type of situation, it's only an Issa d'Rabbanan. So you could rely, you have that, plus you have the Rajba who says you can give a kid an Issa d'Rabbanan, plus you have other questions who says it's kosher in the first place, who says not kosher in the first place, not so clear, and you have maybe it's inedible, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. So when you put all those things together, generally speaking, with a child, there's much, much more room to be lenient. That you don't have to ask so many questions. Okay, because as I say, the main thing is because you have this sheet of the Rajba that you can, in worst case scenario, you can even give a child an Issa d'Rabbanan to straight out. You can hand it to a child to eat. However, with an adult, you don't have that heter. So therefore, with an adult, it's more of an issue. But with a child, generally speaking, people don't make problems. Again, if you know that there is a kosher alternative, so it's better. And it was starting to see now that if you look at over-the-counter medications, there are a few that already have hechsherim on them. Right? OU has the symbol on one or two over-the-counter medications. And this is becoming more of an emerging field. So if you know something's kosher, even if it's a little more expensive, it's better to get that than to get the other thing. However, if you don't know, when it comes to a child, generally speaking, nobody makes an issue out of it. But with an adult, and it's a syrup, it depends who you ask. And it could be that in a case of great need, you could be lenient. Probably that's what any rabbi will tell you. Okay, if it's not such a big need, so then you'd have to ask the rabbi. Okay, finally, when it comes to vitamins. So as I said at the outset, vitamins present the biggest problem because of the fact that vitamins are taken, assuming they're being taken by a healthy person, so you lose a lot of the heterim. You lose a lot of the angles, a lot of the avenues to be lenient because the person who's taking it, there's no great need. What's the big deal? He's healthy. He's not sick. So here it happens to be, this is why in the vitamin area you see it's already for many, many years that there have emerged companies that produce kosher vitamins. This is more so than you find by the medications. More so because of this reason. Because this is the big difference that exists by a vitamin as opposed to any sort of medication is that generally the person who's taking it is healthy. Okay, if the person who's taking it is ill, so then you have all the heterim that were mentioned previously. But if the person is healthy, so then who's to say? Now, it can be researched. The kashrus organizations all list which vitamin, there are some vitamins that you don't have to worry about the way that they know, the way they're made, they don't have non-kosher ingredients, but there are those that do have non-kosher ingredients. So here, the only thing that I'm aware of that could help a person, the only tzad l'kula, would be to go with the, see, even to say, well, I'm swallowing the vitamin whole, so I'm taking it in the unusual manner. Okay, but the heter that was brought in connection with that was in a situation where the person was sick, right? So therefore, even a mixus choli, a person is somewhat sick, you have a heter. But a person is totally healthy. So what are you going to say? So the only possible way to say would be either if somebody will tell you it's completely inedible, that it's completely inedible, which maybe with a tablet, you know, like I said before, the CRC is claiming that things which are straight up tablets are considered inedible, right? You have that. Or you have the Shach's lenient opinion that to take something in the unusual way is mutter even for a regular person by Yisurei Achila. But like we saw, that's a machlokas. The Chacham Sadam doesn't agree with that. So it's hard to know for sure. They do have kosher vitamins today. And it probably would be prudent if a person could get their hands on that. Now I know, you know, everyone groan and say, but you know, I'd much rather take the other stuff. It's cheaper. It's this, it's that, the other thing. This a person really has to ask a rav. It's very hard to get to the bottom of this. It's very hard, like I say, if you're willing to do it, it wouldn't take long. You could look online. All the kashrus organizations have wonderful websites. The CRC, StarK, OU, they all have wonderful websites. They're highly specific. They have documents that discuss vitamins. And you could see there are some, it's too technical for me to get up and read off lists, but they have those that they know are good. They have those that they know to be problematic. But a person can to look there and see for themselves. If you know it's problematic and you need it, you know, a doctor says that even though you're healthy, but you really need to do this to stay in good health, a Rav should be consulted. It could be, like I say, if someone said it was mutter, I wouldn't be shocked, but to just say outright that it's mutter is something that I don't feel comfortable saying, because there are a lot of considerations. There are a lot of considerations, and when you're dealing with a healthy person, it's really not such a simple thing. So that's where it is as far as these medications. When it comes, just briefly, it was asked before about saying a bracha. So a bracha is said on something which is pleasant tasting, or that you derive benefit from, other than medical benefit. So pretty much there is a question, if you have sweet tasting medicine, whether you have to say a bracha on it. There are gedolim that said that you should say a bracha on it. However, there are gedolim that question that. Again, you don't really enjoy it. It's just acceptable to you. So misafik, I think we would say safik brachas lahakel, that you don't say a bracha on such a thing. And on a fast day, finally, on a fast day where a person has to take a pill, so on a minor fast, if a person is bedridden, you don't have to fast. In other words, on the regular Tanesim, Shavasa B'Tamuz, Tainus Esther, certainly Sarah B'Tavis, Som Gedalia, on those fast days, if a person, even if it's not a Sakon, a person does not have to fast. The Mishnah Berurah says clearly a person should not fast in a situation like that. There's no reason to be a hero in that situation. Okay, but let's say even on Yom Kippur, or Tisha B'Av, a little more machmir, although we're not super machmir in Tisha B'Av either, but when it comes to Yom Kippur, it's a much bigger issue. So there, if a person needs to take a pill on Yom Kippur, Rav Moshe Feinstein held that if you could take the pill without any help, then you could do it. You could do it outright because it's not considered eating, because it's considered shalok kederach, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which would not be a problem for a sick person on Yom Kippur. If a person needs to drink it down, so now you have an issue because of the fact that you take it with water, but water is not mutter on Yom Kippur. So what they say is that it has to be shalok kederach. So what's commonly said by Rabbanim is to drink it down with something that doesn't taste good. So generally, a person, again, if you can't do that, and it's a chol sheyesh bo sakana, so you can take it with water also, you can't. But in a case where a person can, what they tell people to do is to drink it down with a little mouthwash or something like that, which is something which is not the derech to eat, but, you know, it's not horrible, but it's not normal to eat that. So if a person needed to take a pill on Yom Kippur, and they needed to drink it down with something, so they say to drink it down with something like that, that's not normal to do, and that would be acceptable. Kosher vitamins on Shabbos is the first item. My understanding is that if you take it every day, then it could be that it's considered like food to you. If it's considered like food, then you can do it, but if you don't take it religiously, then you shouldn't take it.